be affected. I think there are ways to address those concerns that do not raise the specter of unintended consequences that this provision does. So I guess I take a page out of Commissioner Miller's book, that when I really don't know what something does, and frankly, I have no idea what this new language does, I simply cannot, in good faith, support the amendment.
Okay, Commissioner Yablonski, in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Like Commissioner Hogan, sitting next to me, I thought, as the debate was going on, and so passionate, really good, and scared me a lot, reminded me how much I forgot this is possible. But I was reminded of Representative / Commissioner Busan's proposal for faith ministries and faith-based programs in prisons, and how we treated that, and how that was universally seen as a good thing, and we were encouraging it, and just a great thing. It also reminded me of a philosopher, statesman, Edmund Burke, who about 200 years ago wrote about the little platoons of civil society. And what he was talking about were the associations and charities and families and faith institutions that were really the first line of problem solving in our society. And that's what we're here. That's what we're doing. We're all trying to solve and fix real problems in Florida. And for some, the faith programs are going to be the most effective solution for that. And as a state, I just think we should not be excluding the solutions. We should be encouraging them. And we should not be treating the solutions as problems. I have a hard time, as listening to Commissioner Martinez, I just had a hard time trying to factually distinguish all the other programs we were talking about from the program that was the subject of Bush v. Holmes. And maybe at the end of the day, the only distinguishing fact was that there's some strong interest groups that felt threatened by programs, by certain programs. But the law doesn't account for that. The law is the law. And we may have programs out there that are incredibly popular, but the law doesn't account for popularity either. That's not the role of the court to gauge popularity. The law looks at the law before it. And as we saw in the, as somebody brought up the Pledge of Allegiance case, I think, you know, Pledge of Allegiance, a very popular thing, all because there's one person, and the court's there, you know what can happen. So, the law falls back on the law, and at the end of the day, I think the only protection for these programs is the law, and that's why I think we support this.
Commissioner Riley, in debate.
Yes. So, I'm not an attorney, and this is one time not being an attorney, I can probably speak more clearly for the people of Florida. There's 15 words here, and because I'm not an attorney, and because I don't have to read into each individual word, to me, it's very clear. This is good. This is what our forefathers intended our Constitution to say. 15 words. Individuals or entities may not be barred from participating in public programs because of religion. Now, I could take every single word, entity, individual, participating. I could analyze all of those words and say, okay, what does this word mean? And would it change the whole picture of the state of Florida and what we're doing and what we stand for because of each individual word? And for goodness sake, maybe that's the way they do it in the legislature. If you don't totally understand it, vote no. Maybe that's why we're not getting a lot of things done. I think that this is a good proposal. I think the people of Florida deserve a right to vote on it. It's not our decision. We're giving the people of Florida a right to vote whether they want faith-based schools to have vouchers or whether they want faith to enter any other type of entity or not be discriminated against because there is faith in there. So I am going to support this proposal because, to me, it makes sense.
Commissioner Kyle, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Holmes, the case did jump the tracks. And I think everyone agrees with that. Beard did state about other people earlier. The fact is, we are only waiting one litigant on these other issues, because any person in the state of Florida is a legal agent to walk in any courthouse across the state and file a case against any of these programs. And the strict adherence to the case from the first DCA, where any money given to a sectarian group is going to violate the current no-aid clause. Reason would lead you to believe that would violate all those programs. The only thing missing is a litigant. It can be anyone in the state court. We had maybe 10 people say that, but they wouldn't file the case. What about the other millions of people on the floor? You don't have that assurance. And what I do know is, from the legislature, we have programs, a lot of great programs, whether drug rehabilitative programs, programs for universities, programs for hospitals, research programs for hospitals, scholarship programs, that can all be affected by this. And if there was a catch-all lawsuit brought or a ruling on all those issues, the financial chaos that that would cause for the state of Florida, you're talking billions of dollars. You could have kids that are going to be back in the public university system that we're not ready for. We're going to have people going to other hospitals that we're not ready for. We're going to have people who aren't going to be able to have scholarships back in the school, K-12 school system. We're going to have people that are not going to be eligible for drug programs, even if they're in the same phase they want to go to it, because we're not allowed to do that. And so we're going to have to create new drug programs. The cost is going to be huge, let alone the fact that the state is already looking at a $4 billion hole, probably approximately this year that they're going to have to trim, as well as the amendment that we put on the ballot to pass is maybe another $8 to $9 billion we're going to have to look at. And throw this on top of it, we run the risk of a huge financial problem, as well as you do away with some competition. I think that's been the underlying theme of some of this conversation. I think there's a fear of competition. I think competition is good and healthy, and the more programs we can have run by other people, the better. I think the language in the amendment is quite clear. It just says that entities may not be barred from participating in the programs because of religion. You can be barred by the legislature because we think the program stinks. You can be barred by the legislature because we lay out the criteria and you don't need it. You can be barred by the legislature just because they run out of money because they only have two providers. And they just, from all the programs, they like two others the best. It's just saying they can't be barred because of a religious affiliation. So I'm going to vote for the amendment. I think it's pretty clear. It doesn't violate the establishment clause. It's still in there. And that is still the law of the land. Establishing a religion for the state of Florida, which is the other fear tactic that's kind of been applied here today. And I think it's a good amendment, and I think it's going to clear up a problem that's just waiting in the way.
Commissioner Johnson in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's interesting. I agree with what Commissioner Diablo said. I agree with what Commissioner Barnett said. I agree with what Commissioner Les Miller said. And I was totally different. Conclusion, and I'm going to tell you why. Mr. DeAlber, I agree with the fact that you said with Bush to be home, the train is off the track. So that fundamentally to me causes me pause, because the programs that you said you enjoy and I enjoy and we all believe in, I believe they're in jeopardy. Commissioner Barnett stated that, well, let's not work, deal with probabilities and possibilities, let's deal with facts. Well, to me, the precedent is there, and the first DCA has spoken, so there's a negative. Commissioner Miller, you said, well, you know, this is scare tag. Commissioner Miller, I'm scared, okay? And being scared is not necessarily a bad thing. I'm not scared of what you have done as a legislator or what Commissioner Gelber would do as a legislator because you believe in these programs. Because of the vulnerability in the law, and the precedent has been set, it's Joe Crazy Smith. And it's the court process that frightens me that could close down these programs. So when you're looking at whether or not faith-based providers have the ability to participate in public programs, that's what I want to protect. I agree with Commissioner Riley that the language is clear, and it's clear enough to move forward, particularly with all that is at stake. To the extent that we lose this ability, and what that would do to our revenues and our ability to replace. You know what, I didn't even get there because I don't think we would have replaced it. I think that people would suffer. And that causes me the greatest concern. And for that, I support this very proposal, and I'm hopeful that people will move through.
Commissioner Johnson. Commissioner Prozaveja. Okay, Commissioner Moore.
You know, when we started the debate, I was going to suggest that we object to consideration of it. Because it's a topic that Attorney Meyer clearly stated that Holmes' decision dealt with a very specific behavior, and the schools were being challenged, there were two of them. We go from two schools misusing the state's money by prophesizing religious purposes to this broad amendment that can engage everyone. I think that's fundamentally wrong. All these other programs have been around forever, and no one's challenged them. It just strikes me as strange that we have to take out this giant club and club this amendment to fit. It's the third article of the Constitution of the state of Florida. We're not talking about some little provision, frame of things which got repealed. We're talking about the Constitution of the state of Florida and the fundamental rights embodied therein. And I urge you to vote against this.
Commissioner Story, debate.
I think that great points have been made on all sides, and I do respect the fact, and I think that there is concern on both sides about everything, about what's in the Constitution. I think if we froze today and all that we had to worry about was the Bush v. Holmes, that we would all be fine. But I agree with some of the commissioners that have said no one can stand up here and say there will not be a lawsuit against any of these programs. We love them, and we don't see how anybody can be against them. But it's not just somebody today, it's somebody 5 years from now who may decide they don't want it. And our Constitution allows for that to happen, as we saw with Bush versus Holmes. There's two things. One is the role of faith-based organizations to provide services. We cannot afford for them to stop. We love these programs, and today you don't have to worry about that. But if these are litigated, if they own Bush v. Holmes, they're gone, we can't afford to replace them. So either people suffer and they don't get services, or we create a much bigger government, which is not what we're hearing from around the state. The second thing that probably concerns me the most, though, is that we are saying freedom of religion is freedom from religion. And I've heard that in that moment. And when I look at the good that has happened in this country, in the South, I grew up in Alabama, and spent a lot of time in Montgomery and Birmingham, been to the Civil Rights Memorial, Civil Rights Institute. Dr. King's letter from the Birmingham jail was to pastors, because they weren't doing anything. They were letting things happen, and they were sitting back saying, I'm not going to get involved in this. And it wasn't just a certain religion he was appealing to. He appealed to everybody for good. So I think saying that religion has no role in good programs, we don't want you, I do not believe in proselytizing. I think we have to ensure that we do not promote any particular religion. But to say we're better off because faith-based organizations aren't providing services that people desperately need, when that's in our history, we're good. I have a problem.
More debate? Commissioner McKay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really didn't plan on speaking on this issue, commissioners. If anybody in this on this commission ought to be supporting this proposal at all, because there is a program that I pushed even when Governor Childs was governor for vouchers for children with disabilities, because unfortunately too often they don't get the attention they are owed in the public school system. So, as Commissioner Martinez just told you, there are over 19,000 children that participate in that program. And it's difficult to tell you how heartwarming it is when I get letters from some of the parents to know that their children's lives are turned around. I also had a huge role in the creation of the corporate tax scholarship program, which provides, it's really the initiative of a wonderful man named John Kirk, that provides tuition for poor children, grades 1 through 3, so that they can do better in life. And the results of that program have been analogous to turning on a light bulb in a dark room. We also created when I was Senate President, the first faith-based, I believe, the first faith-based program was in prison because of a lady named Henry Martin, who lives here in Tallahassee, who ministered in women's prisons. And that's been very successful, too. The Bush v. Holmes case came out in 2004. And the Bush v. Holmes case steered clear of the disability voucher program. And it steered clear of the corporate tax program for poor children. Since 2004, nobody brought suit. So what I'm afraid we're doing here is we're seeing skeletons in the closet that may not come out of the closet. They may come out of the closet, but for 4 years, there's been no indication they want to come out of the closet. When we went around this state and we heard folks testify, in the meetings I went to, I didn't hear a single person come up and tell me that they wanted us to address this issue. The people came in front of us and they said, I want my property taxes cut. A lesser number, but a significant number, said, I want government control. It's growing too fast. An even lesser number came in front of us and they said, we need protection for property tax escalations as a result of what can be the highest and best use, which working water parks. But nobody came in front of us and said, I want to mess with the Constitution because of religious groups. If we pass this today, and I can't vote for it, even though I'm the person probably that ought to more than anybody else because of those three programs. If we vote for this, I guarantee you that everything else we put on the ballot is going to go down in flames. Because there are groups throughout this state, and we can all imagine, that are going to come up and say, this is the result of these folks' effort. And they're not going to have the money to wage a campaign against just this issue. They're going to have a blanket indictment of everything we put on the ballot. Unfortunately, no matter how well-intended, that would be the exact same result if we try to amend the class, change the class size. There's going to be a blanket endorsement, blanket indictment in everything we do. All the months, weeks, days, hours that we've spent in this effort will have been all for naught. We have to pick and choose, and it would be wrong to pick something that would cause our efforts to go down in flames that nobody brought in front of us as a real problem. So I urge you to vote against this.
For the debate, I think, members, I think we know where you are. Okay. We need to keep rolling.
Well, somebody asked me to take the mic away from
Commissioner Dunn.
We did hear from about this issue. When we were in Fort Lauderdale, when we were in my hometown, Orlando, we had representatives from Edward Waters and from other historically black institutions in the state come before us and say, please make sure that we are able to address the needs of the state as institutions. So we did have some of that debate. You know, while I have never been afraid of a fight, but I also have great faith in the voters of Florida to be able to distinguish, discern, and understand any provision put on the ballot. When I was a member of the Constitution Revision Commission, we put 12 proposals on the ballot. 11 of them passed, one didn't. I trust the intellectual ability of Florida voters to distinguish and make decisions about what the direction they want this state to go in. I think we should look at these proposals as, do they achieve what we stand for? We all say we support these programs. We want to see these programs move forward. The state doesn't have funding to move these programs forward. These institutions further a state's purpose in a very efficient and effective manner. but we don't want the contrary to come forward. And I'm saying, let this proposal stand on its own 2 feet. We should vote this proposal based upon our understanding that do we believe that this is the right thing to do? And I believe that this is the right thing to do. You know, the holding in Bush v. Holmes is very clear. It says, thus we hold OSP, the Opportunity Scholarship Program, which I know did pass the legislature in full support, unconstitutional under the no aid provision to the extent that the OSP authorizes state funds to be paid to sectarian schools, period. It didn't say sectarian schools that proselytize. It didn't say sectarian schools that only hire Christians to teach. It didn't say that. It said to sectarian schools. It is clear, and I think supporting this proposal is the way we state clearly that that is not the intent of Florida. We maintain our neutrality and say that anyone can participate in Florida's discourse.
Okay. Okay. Commissioner Beck, you are recognized to close your vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your rigorous debate. Commissioner Corcoran, it's really hard to follow you. I bet you are just an incredible locator in the courtroom. Members, we have a duty under Articles 11, Section 6 to look at constitutional limits on expenditures of state and local funds. We have a duty to look out over the horizon at what could happen. What could happen and can we meet the needs in the state of Florida over the next 20 years? The Bush v. Holmes case, as we have said several times, at the appellate court level, made an impact on state funding for faith-based programs. When faith-based programs, faith-based providers are able to participate, they are impacted because of that court decision. Commissioner Martinez did an incredible job of giving you actual stats of the numbers of students who are participating currently in programs that are similarly structured. Commissioner Rusan, I don't know if you were here earlier, Commissioner Rusan, but ignore the Bush v. Holmes case. There was another case that was just filed last month, a Council for Secular Humanism versus Secretary McNeil, where they're using Article 1, Section 3 to say that we shouldn't have faith-based providers in our prisons and we shouldn't have chaplains in our prisons. The threat is real. The threat is real. And as other commissioners have said, it's just going to take a court and a lawsuit and controversy, and we will be stuck. But you know what? We won't be stuck with it, members, because we don't get reformulated for another 20 years. There are real threats, Commissioner McKay. The appellate court decision did not give an opt-out for McKay. And it didn't give an opt-out for corporate tax credit. It didn't give an opt-out for voluntary pre-K. The Supreme Court maybe gave a little bit of wiggle room just for McKay, but the appellate court didn't. The appellate court set a precedent that the Supreme Court did not overturn. And as a result, faith-based programs are at risk in this state. You know, Mr. Meyer said that this is a do-over because things didn't happen in the past in the legislature, and he's right. We missed by one vote in the Senate of dealing with this issue the year after the Supreme Court made a ruling. But you know what, members? We voted earlier in this meeting on a working water funds issue. That was a do-over, because the legislature met and the legislature had two special sessions and the legislature didn't address working waterfronts. Members, we voted last week on a do-over issue on property tax relief because the legislature met and the legislature didn't provide enough property tax relief. I agree with Commissioner Mathis, the citizens of Florida are able to distinguish between issues, and I completely disagree that putting this on the ballot will take down all the other work of this commission. Having said that, we have a history of a lot of things in this country and in this state. this state had a separate but equal clause in our constitution that, thank God, is not there anymore. This November, there's an amendment the legislature has already passed that's going to be on the ballot that clarifies. Did you know that we have a provision in our constitution that doesn't allow Asians to hold titles of land? And we're finally, in 2008, going to get that provision out of our constitution. I'm here to say, members, we need to deal with an issue that was put in our constitution in 1885 that was purposefully discriminatory against religion. And as a side benefit, we are protecting and doing our duty as the Taxation and Budget Reform Commission in protecting the thousands of students, the thousands of faith-based providers that provide assistance in HIV, breast detection, AIDS education, substance abuse prevention. We are protecting them from future lawsuits. We're protecting the state coffers from taking on all those additional expenses and we're right and wrong. I ask for your support.
Okay, Commissioner Levesque, having closed on her 002 of the first third on final passages, CP 002 of Nancy, please call the roll.
Chair Hines.
Yes.
Commissioner Barney Barnett.
Yes.
Commissioner Mark Barnett.
No.
Commissioner Bostic.
Yes.
Commissioner Corcoran.
Yes.
Commissioner D'Alembert.
No.
Commissioner Hogan.
Yes.
Commissioner Johnson.
Yes.
Commissioner Kyle.
Yes.
Commissioner LaCasa.
No.
Commissioner Levesque.
Yes.
Commissioner Martinez.
Yes.
Commissioner Mathis.
Yes.
Commissioner McKay.
No.
Commissioner McKee.
Yes.
Commissioner Les Miller.
No.
Commissioner Moore.
No.
Commissioner Riley.
Yes.
Commissioner Rousson.
Yes.
Commissioner Story.
Yes.
Commissioner Turbeville.
Yes.
Commissioner Wilkinson.
Yes.
Commissioner Yablonsky.
Yes.
Vice Chair Scott.
No. No.
And by your vote, the measure passes. 17-27. Okay. Commissioner Scott, do you have a motion?
Okay, Mr. Chairman, next 7 weeks we're going to.
Before you get there, Commissioner, let me, members, we have, last week, we moved to reconsider. Commissioner Martinez's issue on class size. That's at the end of this agenda today. We will probably not get to that. I know there's some folks that are here who might want to leave early if that's the only thing they're here for. So having said that, Commissioner Scott, do you have a motion?
Yes. At the last meeting, we moved to reconsider. So I would move that we reconsider proposal number 30, and the thought being that it would then be before us, and if this motion passes, and then there'll be further action. I understand from the sponsor of it to postpone this. I'll take it up today.
There's a motion to reconsider CP 0030. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We're back up for consideration. Commissioner Martinez, you're recognized under the closing.
Chairman, good afternoon.
Without objection, show the measure temporary postponed. Okay, our court reporter needs to have a break every now and then, folks. So why don't we have about a 4 or 5 minute break? That'll allow the room to clear, and we'll get a new set of folks up, and we'll move to the next one. Okay.